let's get out to the Banner Brothers hotline and bring in our special guest for the 6 o'clock hour. He was one of the best defensive backs at BYU during his day. And you know what? I'll say during the Bronco Mendenhall tenure. Why? Because he was so versatile. He could play safety, both positions, strong safety, free safety. He could play some nickel. He could play some boundary. He could play some field even.
And he could pass.
And he could pass too. Really, I did not know that. I never saw him pass. But he could be definitely a very good running back because he still holds one of the – or he's up there. I think might be the second longest run in BYU football history for a touchdown. His name is Mike Haig. Mike, how you living?
Oh, living good, guys. Criddler, Brian, what's up, guys? How are you today?
We're fantastic. We're just happy to have you on our airwaves. You know, we know you're working hard down there at Nuvi, selling product, making the world a better place with Cameron Jensen, the general, and Keith Nellison.
Oh, the general. Yep, that's what I'm doing. I'm stuck in traffic driving home right now, and it's literally the best part of my day today, believe it or not, guys. It was you go on Cougar Board for about 15 seconds, and then you realize why it was probably the best part of my day. But no, we're doing good at We're doing good at Nuvi. Nuvi's great, and we're growing fast. You know, we're doing a lot of good things in the social media world. Believe it or not, I know you just mentioned you put something out on social media. You got to be accountable for it. I'm with you, brother. That's why I'm on the air with you right now. But I'm really enjoying my time at Nuvi, and I know you in general have had a few good chats about it as well. So you guys doing good? It's been a while.
We're living the dream.
Blessed, man.
We're trying to follow in the footsteps of Hagers. That's why we want to talk to you today and
trying
get
to
some
be great
insight.
Like you.
you guys are icons for me, so I'm in the same boat with you guys. So
every day is game day if you're Mike Haig. And look, I personally don't see anything wrong with the tweet. I know you wanted to clarify this particular one. You went on afterwards and tried to clarify it. But you mentioned that Sky's numbers at Pro Day are because of training with Jordan Pendleton, not necessarily, and you didn't say necessary, but you just said not BYU. Tell us what you were reacting to, and I'm sure there was a discussion on another radio station about why Sky performed the way he did, but delve into this further for us.
Oh, this is a disaster, guys. This is it's actually pretty funny. My office was an absolute zoo today just because of it. But whenever you're trending number one on Cougar Board, you know it's never a good thing. And I used to actually go there when I was a player for motivation because after, you know, a bad day of practice, I'd go on and read what people had to say, and it just made me better.
They would be saying, like, oh, he's not a very good defensive back. Bad move. He should have stayed
Mike's
at running
too
back.
Small. Mike's too short. Yep, absolutely. You know,
you're strong, man.
You're a good player, though. I tried my best to stay away from it, but I didn't. But so today was a little interesting, though, because I don't feel like I need to clarify anything about it. Between the three of us, we can sit here and discuss, you know, what the tweet meant, and we all understand what it means, but it's my lack of understanding and perhaps my presumptuous attitude of thinking that most people realize that after your senior year, you're no longer training with the team. And we all know, especially, I mean, Brian, when you were getting ready for the you know, your pro day, you know, December ends, and people think that you're training freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year is preparation for your professional career. I think from a schematic point and in the film room point, it is. But December of your senior year, you leave broken. I needed three surgeries, for heaven's sakes, right? There's a reason I didn't even do a pro day. I needed that closure. I didn't get it because I needed surgeries. But your body is so broken that, number one, you're not ready for a pro day, right? So then you separate from the team. It is not Coach Wintrich's. Did I say his name right?
Wintrich. Wintrich.
Wintrich. Yeah, so it's not his responsibility to get Sky Pove ready for his pro day. It's just not, right? So that's why these agents come in and they say, hey, we're going to send you to California. Most of the guys don't even stay in Utah. Cody Hoffman didn't stay in Utah. I don't think Kyle Van Noy stayed in Utah. These guys don't even stay around the BYU program. And so today I'm listening. When I get ready in the morning, I kind of have some of the apps on my phone, so I'll open them up occasionally and be listening. And one of the guys on one of the other radio stations said, look at the spring injuries and how this has made the strength and conditioning program. We used to have so many ankle injuries, and now we don't. And I'm like shaking my head. I'm like, heck yeah, that's great. I'm with you guys, right? I think that's good news. And what a good platform to say it on is the radio, right? But then they say, well, look at Sky Povey's pro day numbers. And right there, I'm like, wait, hold on a sec. I know Sky. He's one of my best friends. He was a groomsman at my wedding. Mm-hmm. December 26th, or whenever they finished their senior season, Sky was not ready to do a pro day. He was not ready to go run a three-cone drill. He was not ready to go run a 40. I mean, he's a talented individual, so he could throw up good numbers naturally, but you need specified or specific two times a day training with a person that training people for a pro day. And so naturally I respond, hey, Jordan got Sky ready for this pro day, not BYU. I don't want people to think that, like, you know, these guys are in training with the team. That's not the case. And so I was more or less just saying, listen, they're not in there with the team. They're on their own training for their pro day and not BYU. It had 150% nothing to do with Coach Wintrick and his program. I've heard he's spectacular, and I've heard he's great. I have nothing but great things to say about BYU. Even when I was in the strength and conditioning program with Coach Omer, I'd go to him and I'd say, listen, I feel like I need to make an adjustment in my regimen. Can I do this? And he'd say, yeah, let's work on it, right? I love my strength and conditioning. I mean, let's go, if you guys need to, let's go reference my weight loss. That was a lot. That had a lot to do with Justin and Coach Omer. And, you know, I love my strength and conditioning opportunity there, but totally blown out of context. It was my fault, obviously, for putting it out there so quickly. But it was my problem with assuming that people naturally just understood that people aren't with the team. And then someone on Cougar Board said, or on Twitter actually tweeted to me and says, anyone with brain knew what you were trying to say. And I went to go back and get the guy's name so I could actually put it while we're on the radio here. But he actually deleted the tweet. But I'm saying, you're actually hearing from the source right now. Anybody with a brain knows what you were trying to say. I'm like, no, that's not what I was trying to say. As you guys can say, I'm pretty passionate about it because it was pretty frustrating today. But I hope that's somewhat of an explanation, because, Ben, when you texted me earlier and said, you want to explain this tweet? I said, absolutely, let's jump on. Mm-hmm. There you guys go.
No, and I think you were just trying to make a point that, look, Sky wasn't with BYU at that time. He was with Jordan Pendleton. And, you know, and we were debating this because I think, you know, we were talking about your tweet, which leads to the question of, does BYU prepare its players for the draft or the combine, the pro day? Does it prepare them as well as they should? And you know, there are different arguments to this. Brian Logan said yes and no. Schematically speaking, film work, all those things, on the, like, the football side of things.
On the field.
On the field, like, BYU is very good at preparing you because you have to be smarter than the average bear. You just do. I mean, especially on the defense side of the ball.
So guys like me can play. I mean, let's be honest. In a normal defensive scheme in a Pac-12 school or a SEC school, I'm probably not seeing the field other than special teams, maybe in certain situations. But, you know, that scheme allows people like me, because you've got to be, you know, somewhat educated in, you know, zone defense and, you know, zone blitzes and stuff like that. So I'm with you 100%. I think the scheme's a huge deal.
So that does help. But also, I mean, you can make the argument that, look, you know, BYU traditionally doesn't do as well at the pro day and combine, unless you have a guy like, you know, Ezekiel Ansah, who was bred to just be a freak,
a beast.
Right. You know, Kyle Van Noy, even, I mean, he had a pretty good combine, pretty good pro day, but ultimately what this leads to is a GM or a scout, if they look at their pro day or combine and they say, oh, this guy's a better athlete than maybe I thought, let's go back and look at the film. So in your opinion, does BYU prepare its players well for the draft, the pro day, the NFL combine as well as they should?
I'm going to go with Brian on this and say yes and no. The yes would be obviously the scheme. Again, I go back to the fact, like, athletically, a lot of times BYU can plug people into a system that shouldn't even be playing normally, and they thrive, right? And they learn a lot about football. They learn a lot about schemes. They'll learn a lot about, obviously, especially on the defensive side, the three of us sitting here talking about it. I do think that, as far as in the film room, they do teach you a lot. They get you ready that way. Now, I do think one thing that I can agree on, that I say, I've always been one for position-specific drills, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think I should be training the same as Ezekiel Ansah, right? And I don't think Brian Logan should be training the same way you know, Brian Keel was training in college. I just don't think that that's the correct way it should be done. I think that there should be position-specific things, drills, and that's one of the things that I think all of a sudden this transition with Wintrick coming in, I've heard that he's actually doing that position-specific stuff. And so I do think that there's also a coach on staff that is designated to helping guys do these, you know, pro day drills.
Because so let me ask you this, Mike. With going off of that topic, so BYU has struggled the last 5 years in getting guys drafted. What, 3 out of the last 5 years, no one has been drafted from BYU. A lot of undrafted free agents. Is that a product of, like you mentioned, strength and conditioning, or lack of position-specific or even combine or pro day-specific training for these young men?
You know what? Honestly, Ben, I want to say I have an answer for that, but I think I really look at, you know, the last few years, someone like Danny Sorensen, I'm still searching diligently to try and figure out how someone like that doesn't get drafted, and I'm trying to figure out what he did wrong in his numbers. I look at someone like Danny, he was 150%, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, am I wrong on this? Is Danny Sorensen just not a, you know, a Hercules of a man?
Yeah, he's an NFL drill. Player.
I look at that guy and I just think this guy is an NFL safety. He does everything. He has the measurables. The one thing that I heard before Danny got drafted was that he was so good on special teams that he actually might be looked at as a post seventh round pick because of how good he is on special teams. Because then a team can think everyone's going to pass on him as a safety, get him as a special teams guy, and then move him into that role as a safety eventually. And so I think there's maybe some of that that comes into it, that these guys, you know, they're team players. They, you know, they excel not only on their side of the ball, but also on special teams. But I mean, you look at someone like Danny and that guy, he is a freak and a lot of it is natural, but there are some, you know, preparations that are taking place. My junior and senior year, they started doing 3-cone drills, you know, during winter conditioning, and they started doing, you know, 40-yard dashes, getting you prepped for that kind of stuff. So I don't think it's a huge lack of preparation on BYU's part at all. I think they're doing what they need to do. Just, you know, we need to – I don't have the golden ticket. I don't know the answer. I wish I knew why Cody Hoffman and those guys aren't getting drafted. And you know, you see someone at Utah like Kalen Clay get drafted, and I think in my head, man, if you know, Kalen Clay, obviously a really good specialist – but it's hard for me to believe that Cody Hoffman didn't get drafted and Kalen Clay did. So there's just certain things that I'm kind of trying to weigh in my mind, but I don't think it's a lack of anything really on BYU's part. At the end of the day, if you can play, you can play, right? And a lot of what these pro days do is they show people that you can run fast and you can jump high, but can you play? And that's where I think where the, you know, the draft comes when those two converge perfectly together. You actually show the pro day numbers, and then you also show that you can play on film. And I think there just needs to maybe be a little, I mean, we're on TV plenty, BYU's on TV plenty, so you wouldn't expect them to not have a platform like that. But I do think that, there's been a few guys in the last few years that I'm dumbfounded on how they didn't get drafted. So we might not even be having that conversation right now, you know?
Well,
so,
you know, I think it's, all of those are great points. Mike Haig, former BYU defensive back, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. I think as you look at, you know, that's a great example. Daniel Sorensen had the film. I break it up like this: film production on the field. He had it. I mean, he showed that he is an NFL football player. You know, then I look at, okay, pro day, combine numbers. Had it. Wow. I mean, he showed that he was an elite athlete. And then I'm looking at, well, was it his agent, or was it relationships with the coaching staff at BYU and those relationships that those coaches have with NFL teams? I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here. He had at least two of them. I don't know about the other two, because both of those truly do matter. What are your thoughts on that? Agent and relationships that the coaching staff at BYU has, or that they have with NFL teams?
Honestly, I want to say that I know a lot about that. I didn't even make it that far. You know, I was just trying to get my body stitched back together. You know, I didn't even do a pro day. I didn't do anything like that. It's been interesting to see. I do think that a lot of these agents come in and they, you know, a lot of them make their money on they come in and they find a gem that's going to be a free agent, and then all of a sudden that gem turns into a $50 million guy 4 years into their contract, right? And so I think a lot of these guys do come in and say, hey, listen, you might not get drafted. And then those agents sometimes have that expectation. I don't know if a lot of those BYU players at this point have landed that huge agent other than, you know, your Kyle Van Noy and your Ziggy Ansah. If you think about it, there's obviously a reputation that carries, that travels with agents in the NFL as well. And maybe it's just being represented by the wrong people. I don't think it's the wrong people. I think it's just having that ability to go to a team and say, this guy's a non-miss, and that team usually knows that that agent's really always accurate, and so they take that their word for it. I know a lot of these guys are being represented by guys that I don't know if they've been in the agency market that long, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe they don't have that expectation of their guys getting drafted. Hey, maybe you'll make it as a free agent. I know one of Sky's big goals was to just get a tryout, right? I don't think Sky really expected to get drafted, but I think that a lot of it has to do with agent expectations right when they walk into the door. I do think that the coaching relationships are more important with the coaches than the agents, the NFL coaches than the actual agents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things to talk about here. Another topic that was brought up due to your tweet was, do players, former players from BYU have a reason to be bitter or to blame BYU for how they were prepared? And it sounds like they really don't have a strong leg to stand on. I mean, BYU is seen. They're on ESPN. They do have their talent showcased. According to you, they are practicing doing the short shuttles, the 40s, and everything like that. There's really no reason to be bitter about how BYU treated them.
No, not at all. And that's the thing, is it's so funny because I got on and I read some of these things, and I actually read probably 9 or 10 reasons why Mike Hague should hate BYU. And it's funny because I sit at home at night with my wife with my arm around her, and I'm happy guy. I'm sitting here. I have a great job. And I'm having these guys on Cougar Board destroy me, or destroy virtual me, because that me actually doesn't exist.
Virtual Hague. I like that.
Yeah, virtual Hager. And there's 9 or 10 of these reasons that Mike Hague should hate BYU. And at the end of the day, guys, anybody that knows me inside my home, outside my home, I love BYU. I love, I didn't always agree with Coach Mendenhall. I didn't always see eye to eye with him. He didn't always want to have a conversation with me. But that guy, I feel comfortable texting him right now and saying, hey, Coach, good luck with, spring ball. Hey, Coach, heard you guys have been doing well. Hey, Coach, good luck against Texas tomorrow. I feel comfortable with that. I feel comfortable with Coach Howe. I love my coaches at BYU. I loved how I was trained. I love the lessons that I learned. There's not a bitter bone in my body other than maybe some of the injuries that I did have that maybe could have been avoided in certain instances. But at the end of the day, all that's over. It's done. It's in the past. I think that so many times the picture is painted on why these people should be bitter when they leave the school. I love BYU. I didn't have to come back. I was graduated. I had 1 year of eligibility left. Coach Mendenhall invited me to come back. I decided to come back. That shows right there. So then it kind of hurts me when I go on and I see these people kind of, taking shots, and it doesn't really bother me, but I love BYU. And I hope that people understand that my love for BYU perpetuates from 2015 to 2018 to 2030. And I'm always going to be a BYU fan. And I think that there's a small minority that says things about BYU that gives this alumni a bad rap, that says that everyone hates BYU, because I don't think we do. I love BYU. I think you guys both love BYU.
Yeah, that's so funny. Another subject that was brought up, I asked Brian, who has some friends that have played at other colleges, if he thinks that the players at BYU are more entitled or less entitled than those of other, Power Five teams or Mountain West Conference teams. He's got both in his life. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think players at BYU are more or less entitled, or I guess feel the same entitlement as other FBS football players around the country?
Yeah, I really have no idea. I think Brian, you probably would know best on that, but I know that the only thing I can compare that to is when Preston Hadley would come up from Snow College and be like, you guys get more than one pair of cleats a year, right? And we'd be like,
every week, dog. Yeah,
like, every
two
week,
days.
Man. Like I'm going, yeah. Every you get a pair of gloves every, you know, like yeah. Whenever I lose mine, which is pretty much every day.
Unless Mick is in a bad mood.
Right.
And if Mick's in a bad mood, do not go to the counter. Right. You got to find somebody on the inside who can get you a pair of gloves.
But inside no, man.
I think sometimes, you know, BYU people do. Maybe we do feel a little bit entitled. But I don't think so. I don't even have an opinion on that. I honestly don't even Crittler, I wish I could be of more help to that because I really don't even have a thought on that.
Mike Hague, former BYU defensive back and running back and nickelback, could have been a quarterback according to Brian Logan on with
coach.
Cougar Sports. Yeah, he was also a coach on the field, right? That,
not
yeah.
really.
Yeah, he was a coach on the field, just like Chris Badger's a coach on the field, just like Quinn Gooch was a coach on the field when I played.
Gosh.
You know, we've got a lot of coaches on the field.
I think Brian thinks that I was actually really way better at football than I really was. You
Man,
too,
I mean,
Criddle.
I mean,
like, guys, I played like 67 snaps in 4 years. Come on.
This is the thing. It's the thing with me, man. If you don't have balls thrown over your head, and if you
hey, there you go,
you know, are coming up and making tackles, then that you're good
I'll
in my book.
I'll tell you what. Let me break it down to you for you like this, Mike. I would rather have Mike Hague lined up next to me than Rob Daniel. Why? Because Rob Daniel has, you know, I might have a debate here if it was Rob Daniel from his junior season, but Rob Daniel at his senior season, I would not take him. Why? Because he get beat on touchdown, doesn't do his job. Mike Hague does his job, doesn't get beat for touchdowns.
Touchdowns are bad. That's all that is the motto that saved me. Every time I had that thought on the field, it was like, just remember that guy probably has a step on you, and touchdowns are bad, so you need to turn your hips quicker. And if he breaks down in a route, you better get on your horse. So
there you have it.
That's right.
There you
love
go.
It. Mike, appreciate Alrighty. You joining us. As always, it's our pleasure. Thanks for clearing up that tweet. I think we have educated the fans, the Cougar Boardians, if you will, of the world. Thank you, Mike.
Of course. Thanks, guys. See you, Brian.